So if you want to increase our chances that we're going to say La ilaha illallah on our deathbed, then you want to say La ilaha illallah as much as possible outside that. So as we're going to the house, coming back, going to work, driving, just La ilaha illallah. We're not doing anything anyway. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. In fact, if you can multitask, that even if you have to surf online, just say La ilaha illallah with your tongue. It's not the best way to do it, but at least you're saying La ilaha illallah. So inshallah, whenever we die, La ilaha illallah will be on our lips. You know, that's we don't want to risk being without that. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. So mashallah, Mufti Saab was talking about Hindustan Hamara. So I thought we have to say Bishnad Hamara, Jogalutpur Hamara, Maulvi Bazar Hamara, and then we have Gulaf Gonj Hamara, or Shulam Gonj Hamara, and Silat Hamara, inshallah. Zindabad, alhamdulillah. So we can't forget that. We're speaking about the Quran right now. Is that right? We're speaking about the Quran? Yeah, mashallah. So we are gathered here for, mashallah, the one student who has completed the Quran. And when people, when students and the local maktab, when somebody completes the Quran, that shows that, mashallah, the community is maturing. I've been to many, many communities where they don't have a proper maktab, and they definitely do not have a system to memorize Quran. So there are hardly any huffaz in the area. So alhamdulillah, today there's one, and inshallah in the future there's going to be many more, because we're going to, inshallah, all the parents here and all the children, we're going to make it an intention that at least in every family there's going to be one hafiz of the Quran. Because you know what's beautiful right now? If you, young brothers and our young sisters, if you memorize the Quran, your GCSEs become easier. You've memorized 800 and something pages. I know so many students who've memorized that and then they were just getting A's in everything that they did. So don't think that it's going to set you back. You want to get the best of both worlds. Why is this so important? Because the Quran is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want us to think about this. Even those our elderly people and older people who read a lot of the Quran. The question is, imagine that you've got somebody who loves you a lot and you love them a lot, and they send you a message. But then you get so busy that you don't open up their letter or their email or their WhatsApp message. And after a week or two, they say that I sent you the message, because they don't hear anything back from you. So they ask you, did you read my message? You're like, oh no, I completely forgot. I wanted to do it. I was just seeking the right time to read your message. You know, sometimes when we get busy, we say we'll look at it later. Unfortunately, when we get to the hereafter, many of us are going to be in that same position. Allah is going to say that I sent you a loved, filled message. Did you read it? Did you open it? Did you read it? Did you understand it? And we're going to say, we had it. We even read it through, but we never understood it. We wanted to understand it, but we never got around to understanding it. That is the Quran. The Quran is very, very powerful. Can you imagine the world over? People read it. The majority of Muslims don't understand Arabic, but they're so interested in the Quran. They love listening to the Quran, even though they don't understand it. Imagine if you could understand it. Now, to learn Arabic and to understand it directly, that is a bit of a daunting task. So what I'm going to say, that minimum at least once in your life, in our life, we want to open the Quran with a translation and at least try to understand what Allah is telling us. Because the Quran is a message. It's a direct message to you and you and me. And if we're going to pass this life, and from our Lord, our Cherisher, our Creator, the one who gives us everything, our Lord, our Rabb, we're never going to understand what He's telling us. Then we probably don't understand Allah properly. You want to understand properly? The Quran is the best way, because He is telling us about Himself. He tells us what He wants, what He likes, what He dislikes, what He wants you and I to do, what He doesn't want us to do, and how He rewards, and what he has in his possession, what he can do for us, what he's done for people, and what he has promised in the future. All of this is in the Quran. So at least once in our life, start reading it. Alhamdulillah, we've discussed this with many people, and they've started by reading one or two pages a day and just reflecting. Not to become muftis, because that's not how you become a mufti, right? But just to understand, what is this beloved Lord of mine saying to me? MashaAllah, some of us finish the Quran off multiple times in Ramadan and other times, but we've never known directly what he's telling us. So inshallah, that's what we really want to start doing, along with the memorization, because I really think that's how we can turn this our communities around. Once you know what the Quran tells you, you will understand what Allah wants from us as human beings and as citizens of the world and as human beings. And inshallah, we will get inshallah an enhancement. What is the Quran? What exactly is it? The Quran, when you see anything, if somebody very important for you gives you even a simple gift, somebody really high up that you respect a lot, even if they give you a simple gift, you're going to value that gift because it came from somebody special. But if a special person gives you a special gift, then that's going to be even more significant. So the gift giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one he's gifting it to is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the gift. Imagine, and it took 23 years to give this gift. That's how great this gift was. It was sent over 23 years, bit by bit, because it was so significant. And it was to remain the miracle until the end of time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in a hadith that's related by Imam Bukhari, Muslim and multiple others, he said that many of the prophets before me, in fact, every prophet was given a sign, a miracle, something by which people saw and got convinced that this is a special person. This must be coming from Allah, from God, from our Creator. So they used to, آمن عليه البشر. So they used to believe. Now the Prophet ﷺ had multiple miracles. Water came through his fingers. The food, he fed a whole army with just a pot of food. And so on, multiple other miracles. But the miracle that he decides to talk about in this hadith, he says, I was given a revelation. وَحْيٌ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ I was given a revelation. That is the miracle he singled out, which is the Quran. And he said, so I expect and hope, I hope to have the largest following on the Day of Judgment. Without the Quran, we would not have the power that we have in Islam. And you and I, being Muslim, we don't know what the Quran is saying. So the Quran is coming from Allah. The Quran is going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. On that first day, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the cave, and it's going to be that first revelation. He's never had a revelation before. He's been going to this cave of Hira for multiple days to go on a retreat, just go away from everybody and just worship. And then suddenly the angel comes in the form of a person and comes and says to him, Iqra, you've heard the story, read. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ma ana biqari, I'm not a reader. He hadn't learned to read and write. I'm not a reader. Jibreel alayhi salam embraces the Prophet ﷺ in a very, very intense and hard embrace. Such the Prophet ﷺ said, that it was just about I could manage. Then he let me go and then he said, read again. Again I said, Ma ana biqari, I'm not a reader. And again he embraced me very, very, very strongly. And then he let me go. And then again he said to me, Iqra. And then I said, Ma ana biqari, what should I read? What am I to read? That's the way. And then he said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaqa al-insana min alaqa. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil qalam. 'Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. And then you know the story, I don't have to repeat it. The Prophet ﷺ was trembling, went back, couldn't understand and fully grasp this experience. You know why? My understanding is that this was a download of the first part of the Quran. Very heavy. Imagine, this is Allah's speech. This is Allah's eternal speech that Jibreel ﷺ was bringing and giving to the Prophet ﷺ. That's very heavy speech. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was filtering it. He was absorbing it, downloading it, taking it in. And then after that, he had to convey it to the people. That's why it mentions that afterwards, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive a revelation of the next part and the next section and then those verses and that surah, even if he was on an animal, he'd have to get off. If it was a cold day, he would start sweating. That's a huge amount, a very valuable reception he's receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Quran. Allah bless the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he went through all of this over 23 years to convey the Quran to us. May Allah allow us to understand it. That's why when something comes from a very special entity like Allah to a very special entity like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then obviously that's a very, very, very special message. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He describes the Quran, the way the Quran is describing the Quran. And Allah says, تَنزِيلًا مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. What is the Quran? What exactly is the Quran? Allah says, it is a revelation from the one who created the world and the high heavens. Just in case you don't know, Allah is describing Himself and what's going on. Ar-Rahman wa 'ala al-'arshi istawa. He is the most merciful and compassionate one. He is the one established istiwa on the arsh. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. For Him is everything in the heavens and the earth. Everything. It all belongs to Him. Wa ma baynahuma, and everything in between. Wa ma tahta thara, and everything underneath it. Wa in tajhar bil qawli fa innahu ya'lamu as-sirra wa akhfa. In fact, if you say something aloud, if you say something silently, He knows it. Something even more hidden, He knows it. Everything He is aware of. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Just a quick story about that. There's a story from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, my father takes my money. He takes my assets. He's complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A child comes, a young man, and he's saying that my father takes my assets. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, fine, bring your father, let's talk to him. You know, we get the full story, bring him, bring your father. Now as he went to get his father, Jibreel alayhi salam comes down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says that Allah is conveying salams to you. And he's saying that when this father, this old man comes to you, ask him specifically about something that only he has said to himself, which his ears have never heard. What is that? Something that he said in his mind only, that his ears haven't even heard. He's never verbalized it. He's never articulated with his tongue. I said, okay. Now when this old man came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, your son keeps complaining about you, that you keep taking his money. So then his father responded. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who am I spending this money on? Aren't I just spending on one of his uncles, maternal, paternal uncles? Am I spending it on myself? Who am I spending it on? The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, leave that alone for a while. Tell me about what you have said within yourself, your thoughts, that even your ears have not heard. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. That was absolutely shocking to the Shaykh. He was astonished. He said, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah, ma yazalullahu yaziduna bika yaqeenan. Wallahi, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah through you just keeps increasing us in conviction. He knew exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant. He said, I have said something in my heart, meaning he made up a poem of his, Ya Allah, of his frustrations, of his, you can say, response to his son's complaints in his mind, that he'd never uttered this out. He just made it up in his mind. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, repeat it to me. I want to listen to it. So he said, غَدَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَعُلْتُكَ يَافِعًا. So literally what this poem is, it's a poem to his child. Right? We don't have too much time to explain the full thing to you, but I'll explain the relevant parts. He says, غَدَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَعُلْتُكَ يَافِعًا تُعَلُّ بِمَا أُدْنِي إِلَيْكَ وَتُنْهَلُ إِذْ لَيْلَةٌ ضَافَتْكَ بِالسُّكْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسُكْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ. I brought you up when you used to not go to sleep, I used to stay awake. I couldn't sleep because when you were a baby, when you were a child, you could not sleep properly. I used to stay awake for that. So he's remembering all of that young age, everything he's done for his son, and he's just, that you're complaining. You know, you're complaining about me now. تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَتْرُوكُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي تُرِدْتَ بِهِ دُونِي فَعَيْنِي تَهْمَلُ فَلَمَّا بَلَغْتَ السِّنَّ وَالْغَايَةَ الَّتِي إِلَيْهَا مَدَى مَا كُنْتَ فِيكَ أُؤَمِّلُ. Now when you've... It's just a very emotional point. So now when you've reached the age that I expect to get something back from you. I've done so much for you, expecting that when you grow up, you'll assist me and help me. Now you've come to that age. جَعَلْتَ جَزَائِي غِلْضَةً وَفَضَاضَةً كَأَنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْمُنْعِمُ الْمُتَفَضِّلُ. And the reward you're giving me, the return you're giving me, is all of this harshness. All of this harshness, as though you are the one who's got a favor on me. فَلَيْتَكَ إِذْ لَمْ تَرْعَ حَقَّ أُبُوَّتِي فَعَلْتَ كَمَا الْجَارُ الْمُجَاوِرُ يَفْعَلُ. Even if you did not want to fulfill the right of a father, at least be like a good neighbor who you've done good things to, and he helps you out. At least be like a good neighbor. فَأَوْلَيْتَنِي حَقَّ الْجِوَارِ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ عَلَيَّ بِمَالٍ دُونَ مَالِكَ تَبْخَلُ. At least be like that, so that you're not stingy with your wealth, when now is the time when you should be supporting me. Ya Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, he said to that child, he says, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. You and your wealth all belongs to your father. You and your wealth all belongs to your father. Now before the fathers go and start taking all their children's wealth, what that means essentially is that if the father is in need, then he has a right from his son, because his son has to pay his expenses. Now what's interesting here is this is Allah who knows everything. And Allah is saying in those verses, He knows everything. He knows even that which is more hidden. He knows everything. This is just one story that highlights that. Thereafter that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the seventh verse, Allah finally says, Allah, finally, after describing himself, he then says, Allahu, la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no God except him. For him are the most beautiful names. Thereafter, in another place, Allah wants to describe, Tanzeelul kitabi min Allahil azizil hakeem. This is revelation of the book from Allah, the mighty and the wise one. In another place, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is a revelation. This Quran is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. He must know everything. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. Now he tells us how it happened. The Ruhul Amin, Jibreel alayhi salam, is the one who came down with it. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. On your heart, O Messenger. It was revealed on your heart. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. So that you can act as the warner. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. In this clear Arabic tongue. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِي زُبُرِ الْأَوَّلِينَ. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتٌ. In multiple places, you want to just look for an answer of what the Quran is, where it comes from, who it's for, the purpose of it. The Quran tells you multiple verses. يَاسِينَ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُؤْسَلِينَ. The Quran is describing who it's on. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yaseen, we don't know what that means, but the Quran, wal Quran al Hakim, the wise Quran, you, O Prophet, are the one who has been sent as the messenger. Ala siratim mustaqim, on the clear path. Tanzeel al Aziz al Rahim. And this has come from the mighty and the most merciful one this time. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So, this is how we get it. Now, what Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illahu. This word, la ilaha illahu. When you just say, la ilaha illallah. If you watch my tongue when I say, la ilaha illallah, my tongue did not move. That's the beauty of this formula of faith that is more powerful than anything else. You've heard the story about when, on the day of judgment, when we'll need something to make this our good scale heavier than our bad deeds. the La ilaha illallah will be more powerful than everything else. It will just outdo everything. This is the power of La ilaha illallah. Allah has made it so easy that even the letters that are chosen don't require too much effort. You could be literally sitting there thinking, somebody's thinking you're sleeping or slumbering, and you're like, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And if I do this silently, you wouldn't even know. That's how easy Allah has made it. No pursing of the lips at all. That's why La ilaha illallah is afdalu dhikr. That is the most superior and most virtuous remembrance of Allah. They say, if you do this, as Mufti Saab was talking about, if you do this, La ilaha illallah, if you are just doing that multiple times, every so many times, you say Muhammadur Rasulullah. Throughout, as we go, then inshaAllah, you see, if we're saying La ilaha illallah, we're probably saying it in our salat. We're doing some dhikr in our salat, which probably, how many salats are there in a day? We probably spend about half an hour, 40 minutes minimum in our salat. Now, we're not necessarily 40 minutes out of 24 hours. That doesn't give us much of a chance that if we die, we're going to die in salat. Very few people die in salat. If you do, alhamdulillah. So, if you want to increase our chances that we're going to say La ilaha illallah on our deathbed, then you want to say La ilaha illallah as much as possible outside that. So as we're going to the house, coming back, going to work, driving, just La ilaha illallah. We're not doing anything anyway. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. In fact, if you can multitask, that even if you have to surf online, just say La ilaha illallah with your tongue. It's not the best way to do it, but at least you're saying La ilaha illallah. So inshallah, whenever we die, La ilaha illallah will be on our lips. You know, that's we don't want to risk being without that. So now, the Quraysh, in the beginning of Islam, in the beginning of the Prophet's mission, as you know, there were huge troubles. Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't like what the Prophet was saying. So he was wondering what's going on. One day, he couldn't spend time at home. So he decided, there was some problem in his family. He decided to go to the Haram, to the Mataf, to the Kaaba at night and just spend his time there overnight. When he got there, the Prophet ﷺ happened to be doing tahajjud prayer at night. Suratul Haqqa had just been revealed. Right? Had just been revealed. Now Umar radiallahu anhu started listening to the Prophet ﷺ reading without him knowing. And he said, I can't show him I'm listening because he was an enemy. Right? He wasn't a Muslim then. So he went and hid behind the cloth of the Kaaba. And the Prophet ﷺ is reading. And as he's reading, Umar radiallahu anhu is just getting mesmerized. And just beautifying his mind, is just reveling at the beauty of the words, because the Quran, if you know Arabic, is just an amazing language, right? And finally, after his listen, he says, you know, these Meccan people, they call him a poet, so he must be a poet, because nobody else can speak so beautifully. Nobody can say words that are so amazing and so effective. So he says, Hada wallahi sha'ir, kama qalat Quraysh. The next verse in Surah Al-Haqqa, you know, by design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Like on cue, says, this is the words of a noble prophet. They are not the words of a poet. So little do you believe. It's like responding to Umar radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu thinks, if he's not a poet, the only other person that could speak so beautifully, because that's all their point of reference was, then he must be a kahin, a soothsayer, a fortune teller, because who else could speak so wonderfully? And you know what? The next verse is, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Nor are these words of a soothsayer. So little do you think. تَنزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Revelation from the Lord of the worlds. That's when the seed of Islam crept into his heart. But it takes a while for it to completely germinate and become a tree. And then you know the next story. The next story is when he heard that his sister and his brother-in-law had become Muslim. The day he wanted to take out a sword and go and kill the Prophet ﷺ, he got distracted, went to his sister's house, and then he beat her up. And then after that, he felt sorry. He said, okay, what is it you're reading? And they read the verses, and then he became Muslim. It takes a while. But anyway, this is what it is. This is what we're here to celebrate. this is the brief amount that we've got time for, because we've got a few minutes left and we need our young Hafiz, mashallah, to complete with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the Quran. Remember, the one message I've got is we want there to be Hufaz in our family. So start dedicating at least one child, if not every child. And I know now, right, in the last 30 years, I've seen entire families where every single boy is a Hafiz of the Quran in that family. And now I'm actually seeing entire families of all the brothers and sisters and their children where every single girl and boy is a Hafiz of the Quran. And then they're also becoming whatever else they're doing. They're getting their degrees and they're getting their... So it's not one way, it's both ways. Don't shortchange your children. If you can, don't say that I don't have any Hufaz in my family, it doesn't run in my family. Well, start it off. I know families where there were no Hafiz in that family. Nobody covered, nobody was very religious. And mashallah, somebody started, now the whole family's like that. Take the reward of everybody. You owe it. And then inshallah, on the day of judgment, you will raise as all of my descendants are amazing, inshallah. They got the best of both worlds. That's what we want. Allah make it easy for us. Akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.